Good morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, and on behalf of the First Congregational Church, I'd like to welcome you here this morning. It's great to have a summer congregation, and a special welcome to everybody who is watching online or through Pegasus. I would love to know how many people are out there, so if you could send me a text or an email or drop a note, that would be great. I have some announcements, the first of which I'm going to get. Well, let me first say we're going to do the candle lighting in a moment. And so I invite people at home to get a candle so that you can join with us. And if anybody has prayer requests, please write them on a piece of paper and give one to an usher, and bring it forward. They will bring it forward, and we can include that in the prayer time. You can also text it to my cell phone, which is 978-790-8250, or email them to prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. Beth, I messed up the order of the slides, but.
Good morning. I'm Beth Garreau, and I'm here representing the missions and outreach team. Jeff's here as well. We are excited to say that today, I don't know if you've noticed, but there is a Common Good mini food pantry that we have become aware of and are supporting, and so we're having an in-gathering in that after service. We're going to walk the wonderful food items, and the Missions and Outreach Committee has made a donation, so the back of my car is full of various products, and so we're going to walk those over to the Common Good mini pantry. Shout out to the Alcott family who put this together in 2021, and so we're keeping it going, so I invite you to walk over with us, check it out, make donations, and thank you to everyone who supported it today, and keep it in mind the summer. People always are in need. Thank you.
Thanks. Are there any other announcements before we move on? In the Gospel of John, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." We are now the body of Christ, which means we are the light of the world, and we can't keep it just in here. If we keep it just in here, that means we're more of a family chapel, not really a church, at work out in the world. And so we light this candle to remind us that Jesus is the light of the world, and we, as Christ's body, are called to be the light of the world, carrying it outside.
Morning.
Good morning.
Please join me in this morning's call to celebration. Children of God, welcome. Welcome to this place of love and grace. Welcome to this place of hope and perseverance. God invites all of us to be a part of the beloved community. God invites all of us to share in the good news. We are welcome just as we are. We are loved just as we are. In gratitude for all of this, let us worship God. Please rise as you are able and embody your spirit for our first hymn.
Thank you.
may be seated. Please join in our opening prayer together. Gracious God, make each of us an instrument of your grace. Weave us into community, showing forth your love and tenderness. Bless us and our differences, and undergird our courage to stand together. We call on you today to gather us in your love. Lead us to better know you and to glorify you on each step of the journey of our lives. Amen. We all know there are ways that we wish we could be more than we are. Let's confess those shortcomings before God and each other and join in the prayer of confession together. God of tender mercies, we admit that sometimes we don't know what to do with ourselves. We anger at the slightest insult and imagine great vengeance upon those who wronged us. We laze about in the good news of our faith and do not consider the deep commitment it requires. We care for ourselves, but not for others. Forgive us, we pray. Forgive us. Help us to repent and to make us whole. Amen. But people of God, hear the good news. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are all forgiven. Amen. And now, let us join together for sharing the peace of Christ. The peace of Christ be with you,
and also
with you.
Peace
be with you.
I don't really know the implications of what I'm saying, but the kids can, Sue does. The kids can go down to Godly Play. Sue's gonna take those kids who want to down to the tent. Is that correct? We have the tools we need to love one another. Through our talents and treasures and time, we can create God's commonwealth here on earth, even right here in Natick. Our contributions, no matter the size, will craft a world that reflects God's love. These donations to the food pantry are one way that we reflect God's love. So in addition to receiving the offering this morning, I invite those who have contributions to the food pantry to bring them forward. You may put your offering in a plate at either door. You could make it online at firstchurchnatick.org or mail it to the church. Let's join together in prayer. As we offer our treasure and hearts to you, O God, may they be used to pass on the promise of hope, peace, life, and community to all in need of your gifts and presence in their lives. Amen. Please be seated.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Jesus visits Martha and Mary. So as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things, but there is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." Here ends today's reading.
I'm excited, sort of. Karen Nell, my lovely wife, and I leave for vacation after worship on August 7th. We're going to my family's home on the Cape, a place that my parents built a year before I was born, and I've been going there every summer of my life. Given my history there, one might think it has the potential to be a very relaxing, serene place, a place with which I am intimately familiar, a place where I can get to the bathroom in the pitch dark, a place that has the potential at least to say and feel and smell and be home, safe, comfortable, relaxing. But already I can feel the anxiety building up in me, even now, 3 weeks from our departure, even this morning. When I call our vacation to mind, I get a pit in the bottom of my stomach. You see, I got a text on Monday from Karen Nell, my lovely wife. My lovely wife was taken charge of scheduling guests and visitors to our lovely vacation getaway. The text was a scraggy neck scheduling update. As I said, we arrive on Sunday after worship. Then, Wanda and Todd and their two smelly college-aged kids arrive the next day for a visit of 6 or 7 days. On Friday of our alleged vacation, my brother-in-law Nate, his wife Janice, and two more smelly college-aged kids come for a 6-day visit. Now, if you've been doing your math, that takes us more than halfway through our vacation. Karen Nell's friends, Liz and Ray, they arrive for 4 or 5 days over the second weekend. We're not done. My niece and her husband arrive on the Thursday before we head home, and then leave along with the rest of us on the final Sunday. And if that weren't enough, there are other friends and family to whom invitations have been extended. They just haven't gotten back to us yet as to if or when they might come for some sort of visit for some unknown number of days. So,
As it stands now, I think we have 2 days alone. 2. Karen Nell, my lovely wife, will love it. As for me, I'll need a couple of weeks of vacation, a couple of weeks to recover from my vacation. Just talking about this, I can feel my anxiety rising, my body overheating by the thought of it all. Karen Nell, my lovely wife, is looking forward to it with great delight. She can't wait. Now I know I may not appear it, but I am a raging introvert. The lovely Karen Nell is as extroverted as they come. She has never encountered a crowd that she didn't like. And she's always, always the last to leave a party. And it's her extroversion that's driving our social schedule. For me, as I've said, the vacation is infused with a high-pitched anxiety. You see, I'm generally the shopper and cook in our family, and I'm already obsessing about all the meals that'll have to be prepared. Who likes seafood? In addition to Connie, are there any vegetarians that are coming? What's Uncle Nate's favorite meal? Who eats this? Who doesn't eat that? Now, it's not just the menu. I never feel as though I can sleep late because I've got to get up and prepare some extravagant breakfast for all of our guests. It just doesn't feel right to let them fend for themselves or leave boxes of cereal on the counter. It's got to be special and homemade. And the same with dinner. Now, I'm not stupid. I recognize that this is my own doing. Neither Karen Nell nor any of our guests seem to feel this same fever-pitched, pleasure-reducing anxiety. If it were up to Karen Nell, we would just go about our day doing whatever came to mind, and then when it came time for dinner, as she'd say, we would just scrounge for nuts and berries in the fridge and pantry and find something to eat. I'd get all itchy just thinking about that. Now, Karen Nell, my lovely wife, would much rather enjoy the moments as they unfold, chatting endlessly about nothing, giving very little thought to meals and timing, and who likes what and who doesn't. When the meals are left to her, she moseys into the kitchen at the end of the day to see what can be prepared from what we've got. And I just shudder at the thought of leftovers. In our family summer vacation model, I am all Martha, and she is all Mary. Martha and Mary may be one of the most famous biblical sibling groups, the sisters. As the story goes, Martha, the oldest, plans and prepares the dinner for Jesus. Now you just can't serve this famous rabbi some old leftovers or a tuna fish sandwich or something. I mean, Jesus is coming to dinner and you have to make the meal special. So we can be sure that Martha was likely a flurry of activity, busy cleaning the house and the yard before she began to prepare the feast for Jesus, the famous rabbi and good family friend coming to her house. And there she was, the younger sister, as youngest siblings will do, just sitting there. Just sitting there, listening to Jesus and his teaching. And from the gospel, we learn that Mary, the younger sister, was the pensive, contemplative one, the quieter of the two. But Martha and I would be sorely tempted at this point to bang some pots and pans together so that the noise would bring her sister into the kitchen to help with the meal. Passive aggressiveness at its best. Did she roll her eyes? Did she fuss and fume? Was this a repeated pattern in their relationship? We don't know. But it is clearly a common occurrence in many of our family situations and relationships. I think we can all relate to this. Martha was all work, and Mary was all word. Now, neither way worked very well, especially for Martha, who was overcome by anxiety and scolded by Jesus. Martha and Andy, the oldest, trying to be the good children, anxiously looking out for everyone's needs. And Jesus seems to scold Martha and Andy for their over-functioning when he says to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. One thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the better part, and it won't be taken from her." Slam! Like a 2x4 to the head. Mary has chosen the better part, the one who's just lying around, not doing a thing. Knowing my anxiety about the cake meal plans and preparation, I can just imagine how I would feel if Karen Nell said something like that to me. First, I'd feel mad. Then, hurt, embarrassed, ashamed, still mad. Now, according to the scholars, it's not the meal planning and preparation that Jesus is devaluing here. It's Martha's frenetic pace. And the idea that her anxiety is making her seemingly oblivious to what was really going on in her midst. One scholar notes that the contrast isn't really between Martha's doing and Mary's listening, but between hearing the word, namely discipleship, and anxious behavior, the antithesis of discipleship. About this passage, Fred Craddock said, "If we censure Martha too harshly, she may abandon serving altogether. And if we commend Mary too profusely, she may sit there forever. There is a time to go and do, and there is a time to listen and reflect, knowing which and when is a matter of spiritual discernment." Knowing which and when is a matter of spiritual discernment. And there is the lesson for us, not as individuals alone, but for a church too this morning. Knowing which and when is a matter of spiritual discernment. Cynthia Jarvis writes, a church that has been led to be wary and distracted by many things inevitably will be a community that dwells in the shallows of frantic potlucks, anxious stewardship campaigns, and events simply to perpetuate the institution. Decisions will be made in meetings without a hint of God's reign. Food and drink will be at table without Christ being recognized in the breaking of the bread. Social issues may be addressed, but the gospel is missed in acts that partake of politics as usual. I've seen this. This often leads a congregation to get downright ornery. Night after night, members leave home to crank out the church and return as clueless and empty as they were when they walked out the door. Endless meetings breed resentment in otherwise pleasant Christians because the church's business is being done with any word of God whom they thought they had agreed to serve. If we miss the one needful thing, if we do not give singular attention to the address of God in season and out, then we shouldn't be surprised when the nominating committee turns up an empty slate. On the other hand, she writes, when a congregation is led to position itself at Christ's feet, reading scripture together and asking after its meaning, listening to substantive sermons, and wrestling for God's blessing, studying and nurturing a faith that seeks understanding, then even the details of the common life begin to resound with good news. As with so many things, it's about balance and discernment. The Martha, Mary, Andy, Karen, Nell, you, them. The question isn't either or, it's both and. Faithful discipleship calls for a balance of work and word, doing the work of the church and listening to the word of God. If we choose one over the other, as we see Martha and Mary doing, we end up with something that looks more corporate and less infused with God's abiding spirit. We don't have to be anxiously fretting all the time about the details of being church. Rather, we'd be well served to add in more of the Mary aspect, sitting at Jesus' feet and learning about our faith, our God, our lives, and how they all intersect and overlap. In light of Cynthia Jarvis' observations, and as I read and studied and prayed about the text, together with the knowledge that I've garnered so far about this congregation, I see a particular application to the life of this specific community. As you know, the Dream Catchers, 1, 2, 3, I'm probably missing somebody. As you know, the Dream Catchers, the transition team, have been faithfully gathering and moving forward in their ministry. As you might expect, some members, even a majority of the folks, They simply want to sit down and get to work. Many of the congregation want that to happen too. They want to sit down and complete the profile so the church can move on to the next step, searching for the next settled pastor. These are the Marthas in the group. Thankfully, since the Spirit is moving, there are some that will want to slow down the process. Be a bit more Mary about it. Take time for meaningful devotions and time to really get to know each other in a deep and meaningful way. History has shown time after time that the more spiritual the process, the more that it's bathed and in prayer, and less about work, the more folks that take time to really listen for God's word and follow the leading of the Spirit, the less frenetic, anxious energy that drives the process. Now, I hope the point that I'm chasing is clear. It's about balance. There is some administrative work to be done to complete the church profile. How many members? How many attend worship? The committee needs to be crystal clear. Crystal clear about who you are, about who your neighbor is, and what is God calling you to do. And the greater clarity there is to those questions, the greater the chance of finding the pastor whom God is calling to this congregation. Sadly, the process is doomed for failure if it's anxiously approached simply as a secular task of finding a new minister, like a nonprofit organization tries to hire a new executive director. If a faithful outcome is what's desired, then a faithful process needs to be used. And I believe it is. Infused with prayer and guided by the Holy Spirit, the dream catchers need your full support and encouragement in this endeavor for it to work. As the angel said to Mary, "Fear not. I'm not going into my August vacation in a state of high anxiety, just in case you were beginning to worry. Instead, in light of this morning's scripture text, I'm going to approach the whole cape thing a little differently this year. Or at least I hope I will. I won't abandon all my responsibilities or long-developed patterns entirely. I'll do as much shopping ahead and even plan out a meal or two. But this year I'm going to work on being more present to our guests, to the events that are going on around us, and to the Spirit brooding in our midst, calling each of us and all of us to a time of recreation. I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can do it, but this year, perhaps, I will let the Savior be the Savior, and I'll take a year off. Thanks be to God. Amen. What joys, concerns, prayer requests? Anything else people would like to bring before the congregation and hold in prayer? I'm assuming that there's no emails, no texts. Let's remember the prayer list. It's not printed in the bulletin as usual. It's out there on the table and gets updated weekly. Remembering the people of Ukraine and Russia and other countries who are providing hospitality. Let us pray. Oh God, we give you thanks for those who have gone before us and from those whose questions, struggles to know and wisdom we benefit. We thank you for the Mary and Marthas of our life and our church, for the gifts of new possibilities that await just there, in spite of our distractions. For those who see things we can't because of our fear, our experience, our knowing. For those who wonder in ways that surprise us, invite us, and challenge us. For those who work so hard and continue to do so, even when we take them for granted, even when we betray them, when we neglect to treat them with justice or respect, when we assume and presume and then are shocked at their rebellion. Oh God, we give you thanks that it's not all about us, that you continue to care and to love and to create possibilities of redemption and new life, not only here among us, but throughout your world. Help us to get over ourselves enough to be able to sit in your presence like Mary. Help us to have the humility and courage to wonder, if only for a moment, if you are about something game-changing. Help us to carry that same spirit of curiosity and discovery beyond these walls into the world in which we serve and which we love. So let us, in your name, dare to hope. Let us dare to hope for peace in Ukraine, peace in our hearts, peace in our world, that no child will go to sleep hungry and none will find shelter under a piece of cardboard, that violence will be absent from families. Let us dare to hope that you have not forgotten even us, even at this place and time in our lives. Make us a dangerous people, for once not to each other, but to all those resentments, preconceptions and reasons why your future should not be the future for your church and for your creation. We only dare such craziness because we sit in the presence of one whose prayer we echo, praying together, our divine parent, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Would you please rise in body or spirit for our final hymn, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. Loving God, we ask you to bless this offering to the mini food pantry. We ask you to bless the people who receive it. May they know your love and bless this congregation, which is so involved in its community. Amen.